Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by DrunkMummySoberMummy.com and made in association with HelloSundayMorning.org. This episode is proudly sponsored by Liars. They make lovingly crafted alcohol-free spirits. Go to liars.com.au and use the promo code SOBER20 to get 20% off.
Well, the kettle's boiled.
Great. Perfect timing.
Should we get started then?
I'm Victoria Vanstone.
I'm Lucy Good.
And this is Sober Awkward. Right, Lucy, over to you.
Thanks, Vic. So whatever stage you're at on your sober journey, and Vic and I are at completely different stages, you'll know that life without booze can at times feel, what do you reckon?
Awkward. Lucy and I invite you to listen to our podcast where we discuss the realities of sobriety, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the cringingly embarrassing. Our honest and open chats will help you discover what it really means to be sober.
Yes, we're here like a dodgy bottle of port from your nan's drink cabinet to take the edge off sobriety. And together we can learn how to feel the awkward and do it anyway.
So I woke up alone and I had somebody else's underwear on.
God. Bloody hell, Alan, that's too much information. Oh, what a night that must have been.
Oh, God. He doesn't.
Actually, Alan, I have woken up with other people's underwear on as well, so don't you worry about that.
All right, guys, I think we've started.
Oh. Do you press record?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it was all very interesting.
Yeah, you don't want to know about that conversation. It's just the antics that we get up to sometimes, Lucy.
We don't get up to them, do we? We live our lives to Alan's stories.
Yes, we do. We'll never tell any of you any of them. Yeah, so here we are. We're a bit late, aren't we, Lucy? We've had a couple of weeks off. I've been on holiday. So sorry about those, you know, to those people that have messaged me. We are a week behind. So hello.
Yes, I've been missing doing it as well. You've been away forever and I missed you.
I missed you too. It's like my Friday night out being here. It's like my real social event. So yeah, I have missed it. And also I've been stuck in a camper van with three children. So I've missed life in general. I went away to Western Australia and it was a holiday when you have three kids isn't really a holiday because it's just me angry in another location.
Yes, it wasn't the best holiday in the world anyway, was it, Vic?
Yeah, I think the word holiday can be a little bit overrated. I had a little bit of a trauma But I did. But Lucy did just bring me a gift, which was a scarf that she's knitted, which I am absolutely in love with. And she's got a little token on there that says Sober Sally, which is her, which is the name of her label that she's just making scarves for her family. So I appreciate that, Lucy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so now, you know, I do seem to remember a podcast, and perhaps many times not on the podcast, where you've taken the piss out of my knitting. And now you're sitting there with your freshly knitted scarf, looking very pleased with yourself.
I am. It is really nice.
and I mean, we laugh about it, but I say to people, and I will keep saying it, that I think that knitting was one of the main things that helped me stop drinking in the first 100 days.
Yeah, because keeping
it was,
busy.
Yeah, sanctuary of my hands instead of picking up that drink. And now I like doing it, because you were away having a really horrible holiday.
Yes.
And I really felt for you, and I wished I could do something to help you, but you're all the way over in Perth. So I picked up my knitting needles and I got to work. And it made me feel like I was helping you from afar.
Yeah, and I can feel the love in that scarf, Lucy. Thank you so much. What did I bring you back from holiday? Can you tell the listeners today?
I got a scabby old tea bag.
From my pocket.
Yeah, it was sort of all screwed up. I thought it was a snotty tissue.
It was next to the dog poo bag in my pocket.
Oh.
Sorry, I wasn't going to tell you that.
I couldn't believe it. I thought I was going to get at least, I don't know, at least one of them T-shirts saying my mate went to Perth, and all I got was this lousy tea bag.
The reason we were bringing each other gifts is because Lucy did a lot of work cheering me up while I was away, because I had a bit of an incident with my son, Fred. He choked on a sweet. And
the two-year-old,
yeah. And he, you know, it was a very serious emergency situation, which I will talk about once and never ever want to talk about again. But yeah, it kicked off some feelings in me which I haven't felt for a very, very long time. I basically thought that he was going to pass away, and it was very, very frightening to watch and to realize that I couldn't control the situation that was happening before me. And you know, I thought my life was about to change hugely. And some tradies came out of a building site and opened his air passage with their fingers, which was absolutely amazing. So I won't go into it too much because it was awful. But Lucy's been lovely, sending me lots of lovely text messages, as has a lot of people. So I do appreciate that. It was a very traumatic thing. And sadly, a bit of anxiety came back to the fore, which I thought, since I've given up drinking, hadn't been around for a while. And obviously, that is a big trauma to see. I guess I've probably got a bit of PTSD from it, to be honest, because it was so out of my control and so life-changing, which luckily it wasn't life-changing. But it's hard to get you back into that positive frame of mind once something like that makes you realise how fragile life is.
Yeah, and when we spoke, one of the first things you said is, I'm just so glad that I've given up drinking. It's made me think even more about my decision to do it. You know, what were we doing drinking and sort of very slowly killing ourselves and ruining our one life that we get?
Yeah, I realised how precious life is and how it can be taken away in a second. Like, that's what I thought was happening. I thought, gosh, my life is about to change before my eyes and there's nothing I can do about it. And when I never thought about drinking at all throughout the whole process, the whole 3 weeks that I've been sort of dealing with a bit of anxiety. It never crossed my mind to drink, which I'm really, really proud of. I just had to deal with the emotions and get on with it, even though it wasn't very pleasant. But I never thought about drinking. The only thing I did think was, thank God I don't, because, you know, I wasted so many years being like that and pouring alcohol on my precious life. And I didn't really realise, like, I am as precious to my mum as my son is to me. And I, you know, you don't think about that in the moment, how precious our lives are and all those risky, stupid things we do when drinking. And actually, you are putting your life at risk a lot. I know I did. And yeah, watching that made me just thankful that I'm not involved with that in drinking anymore.
And I know that you really struggled, and understandably afterwards, and still being stuck in that camper van and trying to carry on and have a holiday. And it was awful. It was an awful time for you, as I say, understandably. But you at least you were doing it sober. I mean, imagine when the incident happened, imagine even if you just had one beer before, guilt of it, or, you know, dealing with it afterwards and saying, you know, I'm stressed out, I'm going to have a drink, and then drinking too much and dealing with that anxiety and what had happened on top of a hangover.
Oh, yeah. I think I would have been in a straitjacket in a mental institution, to be honest.
You were much better placed to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because Well, when you told me about it, I was traumatized just by hearing what had happened. Yeah. And I thought, God, I fancy a drink. Yeah. So even though you didn't fancy a drink, it did cross my mind for a second.
It's crazy.
Which goes, again, I, for those people who don't know, I'm on about 10 months sober and Vic's in year three.
Yeah, somewhere along
there. Yeah. So I suppose that does show that I'm still at the stage where I think, oh, a drink would be nice.
Yeah, or
a drink
to deal would just with emotion.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't take it any further than, no, that's a stupid idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a terrible thing to happen.
Yeah, so no, I'm good now, though. Yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm back from holiday and I'm feeling more positive and I'm just glad to be home and glad that my children are all safe and happy.
And you're glad to be in our little studio chatting.
Yeah, I do feel like, God, I just needed a bit of normality back.
Yes.
So yeah, so I'm feeling good. So, yeah, sorry to depress you all with that story, but we know we were honest on this podcast and that's what's been going on. That's why we're a bit late.
Yeah, yeah, because we're going to try and sort of chat every couple of weeks if we can. But life does get in the way sometimes. And like I said to you, Vic, nothing's more important than health and family.
Exactly.
And sometimes you have to stop and take some time out.
Exactly.
But today we've got a good one. Yeah. We are, what was our, we were thinking our topic title.
Oh, yeah. What did we decide on?
It was all the S's, wasn't it? Surviving the sober society.
Yes, excellent.
Something like that anyway, but we'll work it. If anyone's got any better ideas, basically what we're talking about today is reaching out to sober groups when you're getting sober and how at first that can seem like such an awful thing to have to do,
so mixed
with all these sober people.
Yeah.
But in fact, it can really help you on your sober journey. And we thought it was a really important thing to talk about.
Yeah.
I've actually been asked by a few people about, you know, where can I find sober groups and things like that.
Yeah, so, it's usually where people start off, isn't it?
It is.
When you're questioning, when you're sober curious, you start off wondering what are the first steps. And this is probably one of the first steps. We're actually going to cover this over two podcasts because the next one's going to be about your first sober social, a step-by-step guide. So this is more of a introduction to that, I guess, Lucy.
And this is more about going out with other sober people, just a group of sober people. Whereas the next podcast, we're going to talk about going out with people who are probably going to be drinking, say at a wedding or some sort of event.
Oh, God, they're the worst.
So, well, I don't know. I mean, what is worse? Is it worse going out when you've been a drinker for years and years and you've always hung around with people who are drinking? Is it harder to go out with a group of completely sober people
or
to go out
awful.
With a group of really pissed people?
Yeah.
But they're both things that, well, you don't have to find a sober group, but we feel there's a lot of benefit in it. And for me, there was.
Yeah.
And it was kind of how we met as well. So shall we start?
Let's begin.
Vic? Let's go. So if you've reached a stage like Vic and I had where alcohol was a hugely significant part of your life, you might be wondering and worrying about what happens to your social life when you quit and going out no longer means getting wasted. I mean, are there really other sober people out there? And if so, what do they do and where are they hiding? And if you hunt them down, will you be able to connect with them based on just one common goal, sobriety? The thought of discovering and finding a place in this seemingly parallel universe can be overwhelming for us and for many. The worry of finding kindred sober spirits, excuse the pun, is yet another excuse to stick to the comfort of old mates and old habits.
Oh yeah, that's a comfy place. Yeah. Old mates and old habits, isn't it?
Bloody hell, did it down for 25 years.
In a cosy corner with a fire on, a couple of pints.
Yeah. Give us a Stella.
Trigger warning. What we want you to take away from our podcast today is to understand how we felt about finding sober communities while we were still drinking and how we got over this mindset and eventually reached out for support from them. We'd like to share with you the kind of spaces we found and how they helped us in the hope of inspiring you to find similar spaces you can enjoy. And we get it. Sober socialising can be pretty nerve-wracking at first. So we'll share with you what you can expect when you meet up with other sober peeps. We can assure you that it is rarely boring. Finally, we'll bang on about the importance of sober communities and why they are a flathead screwdriver of your sobriety toolbox.
Yes, because you can't do without that flathead, can
no.
you?
No.
It's better
screwdriver. Than a spanner in the works, as they say.
All very clever, Vic.
Thank you.
You really are
back on form, baby.
So what we're going to start with here, because we don't like to come across high and mighty. When we were still drinking, we didn't think much of sober groups, did we?
No.
No, we're the last place we wanted to be. So we're going to tell you what we thought about sober people, sober groups, sober communities when we were still drinking.
Yeah, so I didn't really know there was a big sober community out there, basically, is what I thought when I read about this, that we were going to cover this topic. I knew there was AA, and that seemed like a quite extreme group for me at the time, but actually I would have been welcomed with open arms there. I realise now they would have been like, yes,
you were the perfect candidate.
I was actually the perfect candidate, but for some that isn't what people want to do, so that's okay too. But yeah, I didn't want to hang around with sober people. I thought they were boring and really smug, and I didn't want people around me that saw what I was doing or could remember my behaviour. I hated being around them. They made me actually want to drink more, because I just thought I was like a lush at the bar, do you know what I mean, with a cocktail, like snarling at people that weren't drinking as much as I was, because I just thought they were totally dull. Yeah, I thought that perhaps they all read from the Bible with a glazed expression, then showered in bleach.
I thought that as well. And I thought I was so much better than them. What a stupid thing to think.
I mean, I thought that they were just like kind of creepy, almost like the sort of people that would have sex with rubber gloves on.
You make them sound like aliens.
Yeah, like I just thought it was just like
subhuman beings.
Yes, like some sort of creepy latex wearing, extremely clean. I don't know. I just had this weird thought of what sober people were like.
They were so far from our reality that we created them in our imagination.
Yeah, with like a gas mask on. You know what I mean, though? Like, completely out of this world. Like, why would anybody be sober? I cannot understand them. They're just completely on a different planet than I'm on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
What about you?
Extraterrestrial.
Yeah, extraterrestrial, yeah.
Oh, well, very much the same. I mean, the first thing I've put on my list is, what do these people do?
God,
what do you do when you go out sober?
Of course, everything.
Everything.
We realise now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you just don't drink.
Yeah. Exactly. But the thought of going out and not drinking just closed every door to everything else. So it was like, what are these people doing? What are they doing when they're meeting up?
Morris dancing,
maybe.
Pole dancing.
But surely you
Maypole,
can have a drink
not,
while
not
you...
sexual pole. Yeah.
With their gas masks on.
Yeah. Weird.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this?
I don't know.
Remember, we are those sober people now,
yes,
so we're not being completely derogatory to a certain group of people. I used to think, like you were just saying with AA, that it's going to be full of people who are worse than me.
Right.
You know, I'm okay, Jack, that I've just got a little bit of a drinking issue that's bothering me, but these people are going to be sort of, you know, on their what are they called when they're having a transplant and they've got those
dialysis,
they're going to be on dialysis and I'm going to be, you know, the healthy one. That's what I thought.
Yes, because you'd like to separate yourself from them.
Yeah, the same as the AA. I'm not bad enough to go to AA.
Yes.
And this is what you talk about a lot, Vic, on your blog and in your upcoming book, is that space where you do have an issue or a problem with alcohol, but you're not ready to go to rehab or be hospitalised. What about all those people in between?
Yes.
And that's the kind of people that you will find at the sobriety groups. And I have to say that when I've been to sobriety groups and opened a conversation with someone, I've been, you know, I've been up there amongst the worst of them, I think.
Mm.
So that was a really invalid point that I had, that everybody would be worse than me. I also thought that it would kind of impound the dread of this new sober world I was heading into. I was worried about going along and just these really boring gas mask wearing people, Morris dancing.
<Yeah.
laughs> And then I would think, oh my God, I really don't want to be part of this, and start drinking again. So it was a worry about going and hating it and realizing that there was nowhere for me to go because I didn't like sober groups. I'd done AA and I hadn't got a lot from it. It just so happened that the group that I joined was a lot of people a lot older than me that I couldn't relate to around
the
drinking.
Yes, because you've got to resonate with these people. You've got to find people, no matter where it is. I mean, we'll talk about that later, but you've got to resonate. And there's some groups that will work and some groups that don't. Yes. And for me, I didn't know that groups existed with people like me. I think that's part of the problem, yes, isn't it? We look at the extremes, but there are many, many groups with people who are just like us. And that's what we've both discovered.
Yeah, and you've just got to keep hunting for them and, yes, finding the right group. But there was a really funny point I wanted to mention, because Vic, you've been on Meetup with your sober group,
yeah,
for a number of years now, haven't,
yeah,
you?
Yeah, a couple of years.
And I can remember when I was still drinking really heavily, but desperately looking for some sort of support, that I went online and I tapped in sober groups or something, and Meetup came up. And then I saw that there was a sober group on the coast run by a lady called Victoria, who had been sober at that point for, I think, about a year and a half. And
boring,
I remember,
boring twat.
Didn't take any more time to look into who she was. I just saw the words, her name is Victoria, she's been sober for 18 months. Oh my God, I thought, she sounds awful, I'm not going to that.
That, you were,
is
right.
that is how much time I gave it. It wasn't until after we'd actually met and became friends that it clicked. Oh my God, that Victoria that I saw in the Meetup, that's
that you
big.
Judged.
That I judged on a name and a length of time sober.
Yeah.
So don't judge too quickly. I suppose it's a really good thing, yeah, in this podcast to say to people, don't judge before you go,
yeah,
and give everybody a chance to talk and get a feel for it and try some different ones. We're going to move on to that.
Yeah, but don't make the same mistakes that we did, basically.
Yeah.
Because we had these attitudes that we've just spoken about, which we judged sober groups, we judged the people there, so we didn't go and we didn't get help, which led to us drinking for a very, very long time, both of us. Whereas, in fact, what we're going to tell you today is that those groups are the groups that you want to join.
Yes. And we made massive mistakes with all this, yeah, this horrible judgmental attitude.
Yes.
It was totally wrong. And I mean, I've not come across a gas mask.
No.
Or a Morris dancer.
Yeah.
Or anyone with three heads.
No. No.
Yet.
Not yet, no.
But I have seen some funny people at these groups. Let me, yeah, tell you, they're not boring. So next we're going to talk about what actually made us get over ourselves and reach out for the support that we needed from other sober people, because you do need support from other sober people, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to get that.
Definitely. I did a sort of white knuckle ride for the first 18 months of my sobriety, which I do hugely regret, because I was so busy hiding the truth. And, you know, after a year, I wanted to shout it from the top of the Audi car park that I was, you know, that I was sober.
Oh, how glamorous.
I know. I'm pretty glamorous. But I didn't, because I was so alone in it. I was so extremely, you know, solitary in my sobriety then, that I didn't have anyone to talk to apart from my husband. And I just was kind of a bit lost in that first 18 months. The real moment for me about finding my sobriety community was in a bookshop. I think I've mentioned this before. And I asked the lady behind the counter if she had a book about alcoholism, thinking that she was going to give me the big book, The 12 Steps. But she didn't. She actually handed me Ruby Warrington's book, Sober Curious. And I hadn't heard that term before. And I soaked that book up like I did vodka Red Bull in the old days. And, you know, that suddenly opened up the floodgates for me. I realised that I wasn't the only mid-range binge drinker with a problem. And for me, that was huge. And as soon as I finished that book, I searched the word Sober Curious online. And then that was that. I found this whole world of millions of people struggling with all sorts of different alcohol problems. And I did fit onto that spectrum somewhere, which is what that book taught me. Also, my need to meet other people from that point on became so strong that I actually started my own sober social group, which is something everybody can do. I just went on to Meetup and I made a group and I put it out there, and I met Lucy through that group. And also I met loads and loads of other people. And it's such a simple thing to do, to look for people in your community who are just like you. So yeah, and I got there and I was able to discuss something I'd been desperate to discuss for such a long time with people going through exactly the same thing. And with that, I also found a couple of people that I really resonated with. You've got to pick the right ones. You've got to be able to know who is going to suit you on this journey, who is going to be your buddy, somebody with a similar experience to you, perhaps someone that's a bit further along the line than you as well, that's got a bit more experience. Because that can really, really help. But I definitely think you've got to be careful in these sober groups because they can be complicated, like family members. You've got to have your boundaries up and, you know, people are vulnerable in these groups. So you do have to be careful. But I think stepping into them, you have to take away from them what you can and then continue with the other parts of your sobriety journey as well. It's just part of it. So, yeah, they were that. But that finding that Sober Curious book with that term in it that softened the term alcoholic for me, I think that was a real breaking through point in my sobriety journey.
Yeah, and I think as well as that book that you've mentioned, there are loads of others out there as well, aren't there? That was just where you went and found one book that was like, wow, that is just incredible.
That is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are so many books out there now. We're so lucky that there's so much. And just to follow on from what you said, Vic, as well, about meeting all different people who are at different stages on their sobriety journey at these groups. One thing, you know, you have to be a little bit careful of sometimes is that people are, do fall back into drinking. So when you're choosing who you're going to connect with on a more regular basis, if there's somebody there who isn't managing to keep as sober as you for as long as you, sometimes you do have to say, okay, it's probably not a good idea for me to carry on sort of connecting with this person. You've got to really think of yourself a lot, haven't you?
Definitely.
And what you need for your journey. But because there's so many people doing it, you will find someone. And I mean, what made me get over myself and finally reach for support? Desperation.
Yeah.
I was so desperate.
Yeah.
And I think I've said it before on this podcast. By the time I met you, Vic, I felt like I was in a dark room and there were all these doors around me and I was just reaching out and trying them all and none of them was open. And I just needed one of those bloody doors to open.
Hello. It was me.
And there she was.
Hello. Not today. Thank you.
Oh, it's that Victoria from Meetup.
Yeah,
surely she's not my salvation.
Oh, here I am, here to help you with a bowl of porridge.
And there you were.
Yeah.
But that's what it was like for me. I really was quite desperate. And I remember you saying, look, well, I've got a sober group. And I was like, I'll be there. And I did everything. And sober groups were really what got me through my first few months of sobriety. And again, the same as you, Vic, there are other people out there like me, and that is a really good feeling. There's people I can talk to about this, people I can share experiences with, and they get me. And I hadn't had that before because, yes, you can go out with people who don't drink, but that's completely different to going out with people who are sober because they had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
And another thing that made me decide to reach out is because my business, which is for single mums, has got a huge group of single mothers, mainly Australian, but from the UK, America and all over the world. And a lot of people find so much support from that space, just connecting with people who are in a similar situation to them. And the group for me is something where, I mean, it's my work, so I'm on it all the time and I can't really talk that much about what I feel and think because I have to be a very neutral space there. But I see how much it helps other people just connecting with others similar to them. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what I need somewhere else, but around the sobriety journey. So that's why I reached out, because I thought I'm giving this support to others who need it in the single mum arena.
And maybe you need it somewhere else.
I need it somewhere else. Yeah. So that was what encouraged me. So we did find our sober communities eventually after we went through all the ridiculous thought process of what we thought they were going to be like. And then we got to the point of desperation and enlightenment.
Shutting ourselves in a cupboard on our own, crying for hours on end. And we reached out to the light.
We did. And we found, well, we obviously found the same spaces because that's where we met. But tell us, Vic, what sort of things worked for you?
Well, I've definitely talked about the Instagram, making an Instagram account and a Facebook account. I know they're toxic in some ways, those things, you know, with, you know, pouting selfies and all that sort of thing. But if you find the sobriety community on either of those, it is nothing like that. There are a lot of comparing photos I do find in these communities, like before and after, because I guess you can't really show a picture of a broken soul. So people want to show, look, this is what I looked like when I was drinking. This is what I looked like when I stopped, which is inspiring in some ways, but really it's about what's inside. Mm. And that's the real sober journey that me and Lucy have been on, because we're still ugly, unfortunately. There is no before and after with me. I look worse.
Well, I don't know what you look like before.
Yeah, I was really pretty.
Now I'm turning into a booth
troll.
You're
a stunner.
Yeah. I was gorgeous. Yes. So
maybe that's because you were younger.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably. And I hadn't been through any huge traumas.
You had your beer goggles on.
Yeah. Yeah, so I found loads of people on Instagram and Facebook that I follow now passionately because they're the people that keep me sober. And it's people like Sober Dave, follow him, he's brilliant. There's Soberlicious in England, there's Untoxicated. Sober in the country, I have to mention them, Shanna Wange, because she supports loads of people in Outback Australia. She's huge. Just find something that suits you. Follow them all. Just make separate accounts from your normal ones and follow all of these people. You will find someone you resonate within these stories and within these pages. So I really recommend doing that. The other thing I have to mention is my morning exercise group. I know that's a weird one because it's not a sober
cliche.
Community. I know. It's so cliche. I'm sorry. But
for a jog.
Yeah. I have started exercising since I gave up drinking as often as I can. And there's this amazing guy, Scott, who runs this free exercise group where I live at like six o'clock in the morning. And it means I go for a coffee and I go for a swim after we've done our class and I sit and I do my socialising before 7 a.m. So I don't actually feel the need to go out in the evening because it's done. I've had a laugh. I've chatted with people. We've talked about all sorts of things. There's no pressure to drink. I mean, that going out for a coffee with people and doing all that sort of thing that you used to do in the evening and having that need fulfilled of sober socializing is such a good thing to do in the morning. So shout out to the Majimba exercise crew that I see every morning.
Do you do that every morning?
Well, I try to, but I haven't done it for about 3 weeks. I've been on holiday.
Well, you've been on holiday.
I try to do it every day, but yeah, I do boxing as well, but it's better than doing nothing. I try, Lucy. They'll be like, God, what's she talking about? She never turns up. Please don't.
Like,
they don't
she?
Listen to this.
There's this bird who's just mentioned you on her podcast. Yeah. Does anyone know who she is?
Or that fat one that turns up occasionally.
Oh, she came once.
The one that was panting in the corner.
The ugly one.
The one that was bloated in the corner.
Looked like she's drunk too much over her life.
Yeah. One really unfit one. Also, Quitlet and podcasts, of course, are an amazing resource for finding sober people, sober stories. The stories of others will make you feel less alone. For me, going on other people's podcasts was an amazing journey for me because I got to retell my drinking story. In the beginning, when I first went on podcasts, I just thought, oh, yeah, listen to me. I'm a bit of a binge drinker. But as it went on and I kept retelling the story and listening back to myself, I realised, gosh, really, I did have a massive problem. So it was good hearing my own story. So I really recommend telling your drinking story to as many people as you can.
As many people who will
listen. Yeah. And hearing what their reactions are, because that is very interesting to hear. Well, they'll go, well, gosh, actually, you were a bit crazy. So, and also hearing other people's stories is a really good way to understand that you're not alone. Also, advice, that's what I was just saying, keep talking about it. Your story is so important to this sober curious movement. Tell people on the bus, you know, I want people to know that this is not boring, it's better. You know, I was going to tell Lucy very briefly about on the plane on the way to my holiday, I was rather chuffed because I found myself on the Virgin Entertainment system.
I
was scrolling through and there I was, an interview that I did with Mamma Mia a few months ago, and I actually nudged the guy next to me being like all proud because I've never seen myself in anything like that before, and I was like, look, that's me, and he sort of leaned away from me and sort of didn't speak to me for the rest of the flight.
He probably thought about you as we used to think about sober
probably like, who weirdo. Is this sober weirdo? I know, and I was really proud of myself and just wanted to tell someone. And yes, maybe don't tell everyone, not somebody you don't know on a plane like I did, but
no, I
anyway,
think you did
I was
the right
proud
thing.
I was proud
you. Yeah,
really.
And I think that's amazing actually, Vic, being
yeah it was that. I was quite excited, to be honest. What about you, Luce?
Well, I'm quite different from you, which is good for this podcast because everyone's different, because I spend so much time on social media for my own business. You know, Vic, I can't bear it.
Yeah.
I can't stand
Fair
it.
Fair enough.
I am just on it all the time because my platforms are going off and there's constantly activity on them. And it's got to the point now where I've had the business for 5 years and I'm like, oh my God, I just feel drawn to it all the time. Really, it never stops. So the thought of setting up a new Instagram account or something like that, as where I can see that it would be really, really helpful, actually, I just cannot be connected to all social media. So I haven't gone for that. For me, it's been more about
meeting up with your group, Vic, when we had a lot of sober events, didn't we? We even had a sober Christmas party around that time. We don't do quite as many now because we're, you know, everyone's sort of so busy with their own lives. But there's a really nice group of ladies, and we would all meet up and we'd go for something to eat or we'd go for a picnic in the park. And I can remember going to the first picnic, actually, and I think it was a couple of days after I'd met you, Vic, and you said, come along, I'm having this sober picnic in the park. And I'd given up about 2 days earlier, and I thought, do you remember I came trundling along, spilling my coffee. I was as white as a sheet because I was sort of going through the first few days of not drinking, and sat down and was dreading it, of course, but had such a great time. And then when you had the next one, which I think was about 3 or 4 weeks later, I was there early. I was there to help you set up.
Yeah, you were.
And you were laughing, going, What a change.
It's because you enjoyed it and you didn't expect to. And it's kind of a nice surprise when you realise you can go somewhere and just be your authentic self without any booze involved and actually enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge for people to do that for the first time. And that's why a lot of people, you know, when they first come to these sober things, they are very, very nervous. And, you know, it's their first time a lot of the time. It's the first time to socialise without having a drink. So it's huge.
But when you get there, everyone's in a similar boat and everyone's really nice to you. I really enjoyed that first. I was really lucky that that was my first sober social event. I really enjoyed it and it made me think of them completely different from that moment on. And everyone had brought something to eat, and because we weren't drinking, everyone had made such an effort with the food, and we were sitting in this park with the most amazing dishes of food in front of us at 9 o'clock in the morning.
And of course, the best thing there is that you can say to people, so why are you here?
Yeah.
And straight away, there's no like bravado. That is the question that people are going to answer very, very honestly in that sort of situation. It's not how's the weather and what do you do for a job? It's why are you here?
Or how big is your problem?
Yeah. I mean, you get straight down to it, don't you?
Oh, you do.
So you get the stories and it is really fascinating. And those stories are what make you feel comfortable in those situations.
Mm. Well, and immediately you realise straight away how wrong you were with your judgment.
Yeah.
And you think, look, I'm sitting here with people who are so similar to me and they're really interesting, nice people. What on earth was that? And you feel guilty, of course, for thinking all of those awful things. But another one that really helped me was the Hello Sunday Morning Forum. I hadn't found anything else at that time, and they've got a forum where you can go on and just tell people how you're feeling or if you're worried about having a drink. That was something that I found helpful, and we kind of work with them with this podcast, don't we? So I'm really, really pleased about that because they were a lifeline for me at the beginning. And then another one that, talking of lifelines, another one that I do, which is perhaps a little bit similar to your exercising, Vic, because it's not actually a sober group, but it's a space where I can go and there's just absolutely nothing about alcohol involved, is I do charity work at a Lifeline shop as well.
A lot of work for charity, mate.
I absolutely love it. Love it so much. We have so much fun, but it's a space where I can go and it's a really safe space for me because no one's going to bring a beer out halfway through your shift at Lifeline.
Not even Mavis.
Maybe a little cheeky sherry.
Oh yeah, fair enough. A bottle of port hidden behind the counter.
Always have cakes though. They've always got cakes and biscuits there.
Without fail.
Oh,
I might pop in.
Oh, do.
Oh, I love a bit of free cake.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, yes.
And the customers bring in cakes and biscuits. There was macaroons there the other day. I digress when it comes to... I did put something on your social group online on Facebook
about
the other day.
Yes.
I said, is anyone else obsessed with food now? They're sober. Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, love a cake. Yeah. Cupcakes are my life.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, that is, as I say, similar to Vicky's example of exercise where you're not necessarily with people where you can share your drinking and sober stories, but you know that you're in a safe place.
Yeah, they're brilliant in those places because not only are you doing something perhaps that's a little bit out of your comfort zone, but it's good to not talk about sobriety as well sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have that group that you do and you can have another group where you don't.
Yes.
And it just means you're getting out and you're socialising and you're doing something different no matter whether the people are sober or not, which is a really nice thing to
do. And it's
do,
not
I think.
Just about the socialising for you,
no.
It's about the exercise. For me, it's about the helping out in the shop. So you've actually got other activities to do while you're there.
Yeah, and it uses your brain,
yeah.
You know, and that's if your brain is being used for something, it's not being used for the other thing, which is
thinking about having a drink, thinking about drinking.
Exactly.
So we did. We both went along to these events or got online and started chatting. So now we'd like to give our listeners advice for how to prepare for your first sober event.
Of course, my first line, Lucy, has to feel the awkward and do it anyway, because that is our favourite quote of our podcast.
And it's perfect for this. Because you
it can be awkward. You have to feel those horrible, panicky, stressful feels before you go. But just remember, everybody is feeling the same way. You know, don't be ashamed by your story. That's the other one. Be proud that you're making changes. You don't need to go and explain yourself to everybody if you don't have to. Just go in there and just be proud that you're making that one step. Try and find that one person that you really resonate with. We all need a cheerleader. And if there's someone a little further down the line, like Lucy and I, that was perfect, then they can help you. If you go, just remember to go again. You can't just go once. You can't pick your person.
Oh, I wanted to say that.
Oh, sorry. Go on, say it.
No, it's all right. You've said it now. Okay. You're but it not, is a really good point.
You are not going to make friends straight away. It's as simple as that. Don't go and just go, these people aren't for me. There'll be different people there next time and you will find that person. Take away from it what you can and keep putting the work in. Community is just one slice of the sobriety pie. There's all sorts of aspects of your sobriety and this is just one. So don't put too much pressure on it being how you're going to get sober. That's going to be down to you. But this is just something that will really, really help. So dip your toe in is what we would want to say today. You know, try it. Consider Dry July if you haven't done anything like that. Though those first sober meetups can be really, really hard, just try and go. Try a 30-day challenge, or our mate Danny from How I Quit Alcohol does a 30-day challenge as well. Just use those members that you meet on the 30-day challenge, for example. Use them as your sober community afterwards. I'm sure when you join those groups that you join a Facebook page or you join an online group, and therefore you're joining a community of people that are going to be feeling exactly the same as you. What are you doing, Alan?
He sprayed it all over me.
I'm having a Liars alcohol-free drink.
Oh, yeah, we were sent a few drinks, actually. We were going to mention this today.
I'm just licking it off my body.
It's very sexual. We were sent some drinks by Liars, which we're going to try quickly while we're on here, which I've got a Classico, Impossibly Crafted Non-Alcoholic Sparkling. So, yeah.
I've got an Amalfi Spritz. So they sent these to us, and so we're feeling all professional, aren't
we? Yeah, we're like people sending us free stuff now. It's so exciting.
Oh, well, it certainly throths up nicely. Oh, it's look fizzy. At that.
Yeah, so Liars are a alcohol-free drinks company that make all sorts of different mixers and cans of drink. We are offering everybody that's listening to our podcast a 20% off token. So if you go onto the Liars website and use the promo code SOBER20, all in capitals, you'll get 20% off any of Liars' products, which I think is amazing. Anything that helps.
Could you kindly repeat the code?
It is SOBER20, all in capital letters.
Yes, and you don't have to have been sober for 20 days. It's a 20% discount.
Exactly, yeah.
But I actually think that these drinks are pretty cool in terms of what we're going to be talking about in our next podcast, which is about going to events where other people are drinking. Because I know that I've found drinking events, if you're holding a water or something that's distinctly non-alcoholic, it always opens up the conversation, which you may not want to talk about.
Yeah.
So these look like they're alcoholic drinks. They come in these really, mine's in a
lovely
really,
packaging.
Yeah.
They?
We'll take a photo. Maybe we could have a photo.
Oh, yes, we'll do one
with it for the podcast. But mine's in a really gorgeous pink sort of wine can.
Yeah.
And it tastes good as well.
It tastes amazing.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, so we're all for, you know, giving people an option when they're socialising. You know, I think having something in your hand that you feel like is still a treat is a really good way of replacing alcohol. So, yeah, so that's liars.com.
Yeah, and thank you, Liars, because it's great to, we feel all professional.
Yeah, we do.
And we love that you're supporting our sober community and helping us all along. I've got a rabbit on the front of mine, actually.
Yeah, I've got a hummingbird on mine. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, so what advice would you give to people that are preparing for their first sober social event, Lucy?
Yes, I was going to say think about your boundaries and what you're comfortable with sharing, because you're going to be talking about stuff that you probably haven't spoken to many people about, especially total strangers. And you will find that some people are very open and share some pretty crazy stories, because you've got to remember the people at these events are people who have had pretty crazy lives. They're not boring. They've got stories to tell. And when you hear some of their stories, you might think, oh God, yes, that happened to me. This happened to me. And you find yourself telling some stories that you would rather not have said straight away, but you might be happy to share them. But maybe just think about how far you want to go with what you tell people and put some little boundaries in place in your head so that you only share what you're comfortable with. I mean, we've all done it where we've got out drunk and shared way too much. Let's not be doing it when we're sober.
Yeah, I mean, being too open is something that I've always had a problem with in the past. Like being a little bit mysterious, there's nothing wrong with that. I kind of always would like to be a bit more mysterious.
I'd love to be a bit more
mysterious. You'd see my cloak disappearing around a corner and wonder, who is she?
We'd be going, who's that mysterious woman?
I wish I'd been more mysterious throughout my life, to be honest.
I'm not in the slightest bit mysterious. I often don't think before I talk and it all comes pouring out. And I actually think that you might find, it seems to me that it's a bit of a trait of people who have drunk a lot. They do that. Because, the things you hear at these sober gatherings.
It's brilliant. Yes, yeah. So I sort of sit rubbing my hands together, like can't wait to hear what people are going to tell me each time I go.
There's always an incredible story, but the best thing is you can always match it with one of your own.
Pretty much.
So it's about whether you want to do that or not. One of the things that I noticed when I first became sober, and I know, Vic, we've spoken about it, and we laugh whenever we finish a podcast. I always say, right, we finish the podcast. We go, cool, that was really good. By the time I get to my car and open the door, I'm full of doubt. Oh, my God, was I okay? Did I say something wrong? What about this? What about that?
Yeah.
And I don't know, again, whether that's from years of drinking, but I'll go to an event, do a podcast, do anything. And within about 2 minutes of leaving, I start questioning myself.
Yeah, it's like a inbuilt self-doubt, isn't it?
Yeah, and it may be because that's what you do when you drink. You can't remember what you said and you're sort of always worried, did I make a fool of myself? And it's almost as if that's carried on.
It's like a hangover of that paranoia, isn't it? Of that hungover paranoia that stays with you.
It does. So
you're overly concerned of how you're acting, even sober.
You are. And it's when you're sort of driving back from maybe your first sober event, if you feel like that, just know that I still do feel like that a lot.
Absolutely. So do I.
And it might just be something to do with all of your years of drinking and the self-doubt that came afterwards. You might not feel that way, but if you do, please don't let it stop you going back to another one, because it is something that's happened to both of us. So I'll be prepared for that to happen. Certainly stay open-minded. You never know who you're going to meet, what it's going to be like. So don't try and imagine and expect something. Just go along with an open mind. Like you said, Vic, and I was wanting to bring it up, never make a decision based on just one event. Go back and try a few. And after a few, you might find that it doesn't work for you. You might find just one person you connect with and you just stay in contact with that person and that's enough for you. And also be aware that there will probably be some people who are still drinking there, which is something that not actually drinking at the event, although I think some do. You have had that, haven't you?
Yeah, had people drinking.
But there are people who haven't actually given up. Now, I was surprised by that, just because, again, my expectations were that everybody at the Sober Social would be sober, even if it was just a couple of days like me. But no, there were people who were hungover.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, they're all welcome.
I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, no, anything goes in these groups, which is what's nice about it. It's very accepting and very tolerant. And, you know, you can't judge people in these situations because we've all been there. And who's, you know, I'm a real believer in equality and acceptance. And you have to have that in these groups.
The people who are still drinking, they're probably the ones struggling the most.
Yeah, they need the most help and they need the most advice. So just keep telling those stories and keep helping people.
Exactly. Yeah, and just be honest and be kind.
Yeah, be honest and be kind to everybody. I mean,
you get a real range of people, don't you, at them? You know, all different ages, all different stages.
Yeah. And you're not going to find, some people are not going to be your people.
No.
And that's fine. Yeah.
You can't be friends with everyone.
You can't be, and that's okay. Why has having sober communities to reach out to been so important to you, Lucy?
Well, for me, in my first 100 days, my first few months, I don't think I could have done it without sober communities. I was going to something once or twice every week. And because I have been drinking heavily for 25 years. All my friends are drinkers.
Yeah.
And drinking was my buddy.
Yeah.
And so I'd kind of not lost my drinking friends, but I wasn't hanging out with my drinking friends. And then I lost my other best friend, which was the drink. So I was feeling quite lonely. And obviously I am a single mother. So and I don't have a partner. So, yeah. And I live on the other side of the world from all my family.
I've got a small violin here that I might start playing in a minute.
Oh, fuck off.
Carry on.
No, but I did feel lonely, and having people to go and talk to and listen to me ramble on.
That's all you need really sometimes, isn't it? You just need people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need people, whoever they are.
Yeah. Yeah,
because we're saying, like, they might be good, they might be bad. Sometimes it doesn't matter.
And yeah. it breaks it up. It's like, I'm going to, you know, because you tend not to go out a lot, and you've actually got somewhere to go and people to see and a conversation to have. And I felt like I was part of something really cool going along to these things. You know, we talk about sober as boring and uncool, but getting sober is a really cool thing to do, and it's a big movement. And I felt that.
Yeah.
I felt that when I was there, and that was something that really surprised me. I felt I was part of something big that wasn't great, huge now, but it was getting bigger and bigger. And I still feel that doing this podcast. I feel we're part of something that's growing, and that it is going to be seen as a really cool thing to do. And I wasn't expecting that at those groups. I thought, you know, that they were going to be Morris dancing, and I was going to have to learn that.
the Adelbury cock and balls move. That is actually a Morris dancing move.
I ask how you even know that?
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I liked going because I felt empowered. I felt accountable. Yeah. I want, you know, there were other people in the group similar stage to me, and when we met up again, I didn't want to say, oh, I had a drink. I wanted to say, yeah, you know, I've done it, and people don't mind if you haven't managed to see it through, but it's nice to tell people that you have.
Can I just interrupt you there?
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting, that point that you've just made there, is to go and tell people that you've done well, because you get accolades then, and it does make you feel good, and it spurs you on. And it's so funny, like in sobriety, it's the first time I've ever, ever in my life had people say, you're doing all right. Because before it was just like, you are wasted. You made a tit of yourself last night. You perhaps have got a drinking problem. Why haven't you turned up for work? You know, all of these things, it was always negative. And when now, it's like, oh, you're doing a good job. Like, oh, you're helping people. Oh, you're being a good influence. All of these things have changed, and people say nice things to me now.
I know exactly what you mean.
Like bullets coming at me. I'm like, oh, like you're saying something nice to me. Okay. And it takes me a while to absorb that I'm actually a capable person of this earth. Like, it sounds weird.
I know exactly what you mean. Yes. Instead of getting sort of the negative comments and the people looking at you funny because of what you did the night before, or because you're looking particularly hungover.
Yeah.
And accolades are really important. I mean, even for young kids, giving them little incentives, you know, if you go and get ready for bed, you can have an extra bedtime story or whatever, you know, just to go along and to be able to say to people, I've done another week, and for them to say, oh, well done.
Yeah.
That made that week worth it.
And then as those weeks trot on, then you don't want to let those people down even more. So you continue on this path, because you can't then, oh, I've got all these dates in my app and I've been doing so well. Like, all of those things build up, and you don't want to let down the people in the sobriety groups. You don't want to let anyone down, especially yourself.
Yeah.
So therefore you've got people to answer to, which is also a really good reason to join.
Yeah, because if you haven't got people to answer to, you can so easily slip back into drinking. I have heaps of reasons why it's worth, why it's been so important to reach out, but also it was nice to make friends.
Yes.
I made a friend. I made lots of friends, and also to help others. You know, it's not just about us going along for our own needs and to get support, but by going along and sharing your stories. And they, you might think, oh, I haven't really got very many exciting stories, or my problem isn't as big as theirs, or my stories are so awful I can't tell them. But anything you can say to another person in that sober space is going to help them.
Yeah.
And that's a really, if you can help other people from your own experiences, that's a really good empowering thing.
And it takes you out of your own head. Like, suddenly all of that stuff that you've got going on in your head about alcohol and all those questions you're asking, you can kind of push it out and help others, rather than being, you know, self you know, thinking about yourself all the time. Yeah. It can be all consuming sometimes. So actually taking it away from you and helping someone else is a really good way to deal with all that stress.
Yeah.
Also learning all the time, like those groups that you go to, you're going to be learning from people.
Yes, loads of resources.
Excuse me.
Like all the, with your group, you get people to bring books along, don't you? And we swap books.
Yeah, and podcast ideas and just anything that helps. Like even on the Facebook group, which is the Sober Social for Sober Curious Women, just go and search for that. But people put advice on there all the time. So you're always learning. And because you're sober, you're much more able to absorb information and remember it. And that is a huge help. So, yeah, you'll feel like part of a movement if you do go to these sober groups where people can listen and understand what you're doing. And the same as Lucy, you know, we've become really great friends, and I wouldn't have met Lucy if it wasn't for the sober group. So that's just one reason it's good enough for me to go.
Aww. Yes. Oh, that's so sweet.
I'll get you another tea bag if you're lucky.
I'm quite looking forward to trying my tea bag later.
Yeah, it was a very nice. It was a posh tea bag.
It better be good.
Yeah. Better than the tea bags we used to do.
I think we've managed to keep off of that this week, didn't we? About it. I don't think we come up with any really awful stories other than your traumatic event on holiday.
That was enough,
I think. That was enough, yes. But yeah, just going on to what you said there about your Facebook group, again, the accolade thing there, it's a great space to go if you've just done even your first day. If you've done your first day, go on and say, I've just done a day. I've woken up the following month, feel good. I've done 24 hours without alcohol. We can guarantee there'll be a load of, we love a win on there.
Yes.
And everyone will be going, well done, go on, you can do
20 answers.
Yeah.
And also people just saying, look, that's amazing. What are you going to do next? And how are you going to deal with the next week? And what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
I mean, just keep on it. If you've got questions, keep asking them. Find one of those groups where you can ask questions, because lots of questions will come up and there are people there that can answer them.
Yeah. And so probably a point to make is it is good if you can have a physical group where you go out and you do some social things like going into a restaurant and having a meal without alcohol. But then also having an online space, even though I'm not into my online spaces, I am part of Vic's group because I have had moments when I've really needed support in the moment. You know, it's 10:30 at night. I can just tap in a question and I have got so much support.
And also you're really good at saying, like, not only can I ask a question, but I've got something that has really worked for me today.
Yes.
And this is what it is. And you know that that's going to help 30 people on there in that moment.
Yeah.
So that's really, really helpful. All of these things. I mean, I know we complain about social media and all that sort of thing, but in some circumstances, it is absolutely an incredible tool that we have nowadays.
It's 24/7 on tap help, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you find the right
space. If you use it correctly, yeah.
Well, we've got some tips, haven't we?
Yes, of course we do.
We've got some tips. Okay. I'll go first, shall I?
Go for it.
Where are we? Okay, so both Vic and I admit that we used to think that sober meant boring. Therefore, a sober community was just one big bore fest. And by bore, we don't mean like pigs.
Pig, yeah. Oh, I like a good bore fest.
But we were very wrong. Give them a go. We think you'll be pleasantly surprised. After all, most sober folk have lived crazy drinking lives, so the stories and banter may well surprise you.
Yeah, definitely. If you can change your mindset about sobriety communities, you will open up a world of support that could be invaluable on your journey to get and stay sober. Don't rule them out.
Sober communities can come in many different forms, and this is great because you are more likely to find something that suits you. They might be online or in person. They might be support focused or activity focused. They might be small and intimate or large and loud. Try a few until you find one that suits the new sober you.
Of course, it is impossible that you live in the... It is possible, rather, that you live in the middle of nowhere, in which case Lucy and I are extremely jealous, because I know this week I feel like living in the middle of nowhere, to be honest. If you can't find a group in your local area, reach out online or just start one. I did.
Go on, say the name of it again.
The Sober Social for Sober Curious Women. It's a bit of a long-winded one, isn't it?
It is quite long-winded. Yeah. Maybe she looked to shorten that, a bit more sort of punch to it.
T-S-S-F.
No, that's not working either. And what was that, the one you mentioned earlier, Vic, about someone, a group for remote people in remote areas?
Oh, that's Sober in the Country and Untoxicated, I'll remember again. They're both Australian ones. But in England, you have Club Soda and Soberlicious. You know, just search Sober Social Group in your area and you'll definitely find something.
It's going to be hard at first, but don't let nerves hold you back. Remember, lots of other people will feel just like you, and in our experiences we've only ever felt welcome in sober spaces. After all, you know, you'll have at least one thing in common. The more you get out and practice sober socializing, the better it will get, and a sober gathering is a perfect place to try.
Never ever feel ashamed of attending a sober event for sober people. Everyone who has battled an alcohol addiction is strong and incredible, including you. Whether you are on day one or day 1001, be proud to be an integral part of this brilliant, society-changing, sober-curious movement.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Oh, I feel quite empowered.
Yes, yes. A little bit of we came out.
I might fart with excitement.
TMI? Carry on.
Oh, we got so close to doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we did well, didn't we?
So remember that getting together with other sober people is not just for your benefit. Simply being there and chatting to other people will help them too. It's a win-win for everyone, and it's hugely empowering to be able to help others through your own difficult experiences with booze.
Every week we like to let listeners know. I think it's important to let everybody know that even though we laugh in this podcast and say probably very inappropriate things about our bodily functions, which I just did, and we'll drive home feeling shame about.
We will. Yeah. We will.
And make light of our past and crazy drunken behaviours. We don't want this to take away from how serious the normalisation of alcohol abuse is in society. It has devastating effects on impact on individuals, relationships and families. Lucy and I are both passionate about helping others that are struggling, and we hope that our humour and insight into the life of two ex-binge drinking party girls, who I also am now calling addicts with backstage passes. That's my new name for party girl.
Yeah,
so yeah, like it. I've really thought about that one. We'll give you hope, and you're not alone, and everybody can live a full and happy life after alcohol. Yeah, so thanks for listening, everybody. I just wanted to do a book recommendation, which is Annie Grace's This Naked Mind. That is an essential book if you are thinking about sobriety. So just Google that. It's Annie Grace, This Naked Mind. And the next podcast, we're going to be doing a step-by-step guide to what it's like to go to your first ever social sober outing.
And we've got some more Liars drinks.
Yeah, we're going to have a few more Liars. I'm just going to say Liars is spelled L-Y-R-E-S.
Oh, should we say the code again?
Yeah, the code is SOBER20.
To get 20% off.
So you get 20% off for the next couple of months on that. So make the most of that, everybody, because that is a good option when you're going out.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
I'm a little bit worried. I can't find my tea bag anywhere.
Yeah, I saw you. What are you looking for?
I'm frantic. I can't find it.
Yeah.
Where's it gone?
You haven't lost it, have you?
Well, I don't know.
That was expensive, that one grubby
well,
little
really
tea bag.
I was really looking forward to it. You haven't taken it back, have you?
No, I'll try not to. Alan, got any tea bags?
He won't share them with
no,
me.
No, he won't share them. That's all, yeah.
Oh, it's a roomy night.
Stingy. Thank you for listening to the Sober Awkward podcast.
If alcohol is affecting your life in a negative way, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time for you to reach out for help. Contact your local doctor, a therapist, or connect with a local AA or sobriety group. In fact, Vicky's got a really great one.
Yeah, it's the Sober Social for Sober Curious Women. You can just search for that on Facebook. Lucy and I will both agree that even though this journey can be awkward, it's definitely worth it. And if we can do it, then you can too. For more support around sobriety, head to my website, drunkmummysobermummy.com. And Lucy runs an online space to support and inspire single mums. Find out more at beanstalkmums.com.au.
Finally, if you've loved the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to subscribe,
rate, give a review and share it with your mates. But don't worry, we won't be angry if you don't.
I might be a bit angry, Lucy.
Can't say that.
They won't mind.
No, it's just rude.
Hi there. I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I think every single one of you will benefit from. It's called Therapy Works, and it's hosted by me, Julia Samuel. I'm a best-selling author and psychotherapist. I invite you into my therapy room, where I speak to either a known or unknown guest. Topics range from the difficulties of divorce, a life-changing illness, to the struggles of motherhood. Search Therapy Works now, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
So, as you probably know, my comedy memoir, A Thousand Wasted Sundays, is officially out. All my magnificent fuckuppery in one awkward hit. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy, it's now available from all good bookstores.
We always say all good bookstores, don't we? Yeah. Are there bad bookstores?
I don't know. It's probably ones with moody sellers.
Oh, yeah. Depressed librarian folks.
Yes, okay, yeah, good, yeah. Good. So there are probably some, but we're only storing it in the good ones.
It's only made it into the goodies.
You can also get it from all good online retailers. The print version and ebook are out now, and the audiobook will be available in March. I've been writing my memoir for 5 years. It will make you laugh, cry and cringe, and hopefully inspire a few people to reconsider their relationship with booze. If you love the podcast, then I think you'll love the book, even if I do say so myself. Hamish has read it. What did you think?
I feel like I know a little bit too much about you now, to be honest, Vic. Look, I really loved it. It was hilarious and surprisingly moving, but I feel like I've seen you naked in a literary sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From an emotional point of view, seriously, it wobbled my teeny-weeny wooden heart, Vic.
Okay.
My teeny little wooden heart.
Well, his teeny little... His wooden heart is broken. Anyway, so if you do manage to get your filthy mitts on a copy, please do me a favour and head to goodreads.com and give me a review. Doing that will help me get it out there to those that need a bit of sober support. So there you have it. My story, unwanted warts and all. Come and get awkward with me.
Not to be too demanding or anything, but seriously, go and buy it.
Yeah,
now.
Go and buy it. Go and buy it right now.
Yeah, don't just tell your friends. Buy it and then buy your friends one or two.
Yeah, don't give them a copy. Yeah. Buy it. Yeah.
And you know what? Don't be careful where you store it. If you lose it, you can always buy another five.
Yeah, buy another one.
Yeah.